All right. So we are talking about permanent negative self-talk. All right. The whole topic was basically, any of the questions that you have asked yourself or said, statements that you've made. Everybody's always going to leave. Everyone always leaves. I always get hurt. I am always going to get hurt. I always fail when I try something new. I will never forgive them or myself. I will never lose the weight. I don't deserve such and such. I'm not good at. I can't. I won't ever. I will never get, never be able to. I am not strong, smart, good, fast enough, and I never will be. And that is just like, I just read the list, to be honest. But those are, just a few. Like, you can use this in any context that you've ever used it, right? And the big part is I can't, I won't, I never, always, just these key words that jump out in these sentences, that make it permanent, right? That always makes it permanent. That never is going to make it permanent. And even the simple phrases of, I can't do this. I am not good enough to do this. I mean, even throw that stuff in there because typically when we say that, our, subconscious reaction to that is it makes it permanent, right? And oftentimes it goes along with this. It sets us up for the same failure that the rest of it is going to. So you can find this in any area of your life, right? You might be saying these things in your relationships, your work life, at the gym, whatever it is, right? You might be saying this anywhere, right? In relationships, I don't mean just like your significant other. I mean family, friends, just all social areas, whatever. So, it can be found anywhere. A lot of the time, too, I've found that people say these things and they'll kind of turn around and be like, oh, well, I was just joking. And I'm going to throw that out there because even as a joke, it still affects us in a certain way. And I'm going to group that in there because, most of us, when we say, well, I was just joking, really aren't, we don't really mean that. We're just trying to alleviate the pressure that's now on us because somebody confronted us about it, or so that we can kind of just brush it off, move on, and just really think nothing of it when in reality it's affecting us on such a great level. And most of the time, if not all the time, we don't realize how strongly. So, why is the permanent so dangerous? Why is that permanent aspect of it so dangerous? And, there's a lot of reasons, but, mainly that permanent kind of leads us to a lot of self-sabotage. It allows us to create excuses to never pursue something, never to pursue something better or greater or whatever it is. It's kind of like giving up before you even start anything, right? You're kind of just saying it's always going to happen or it's never going to happen. So I'm not even going to try. I'm not going to do anything different. That's just always going to be the end result. It's always going to be the outcome. And it kind of just gives yourself an out, right? It gives you an out to not do anything differently. And most importantly, it doesn't give you the permission, right? You're not giving yourself permission to grow and change and do anything else because you just accept that these are the outcomes. This is just how it is. So you're denying yourself permission to actually grow and do something different. It's pretty closed-minded, right? Doesn't allow room for change. And the other, aspect of it is that the more that you do this, the more that you say these things, the more that you think these things, you're kind of feeding into it. And what happens is that you start to see more negative in the world, right? So the more that you speak these negative self-talk topics, whatever they are, the easier it is to find them, right? People are always talking about how the more positive you think, the more positive things that you're going to see, the more negative that you think, the more negative things that you're going to see because your brain gets rewired. And we're going to get into neuroplasticity here in a minute, but your brain, it's that whole energy attraction thing, right? your brain is being wired and trained to see those things that support your belief. If you believe that you're never going to be good enough, your mind is going to say, okay, hey, well, now I'm looking for things to support this belief, because that's what we need to, that's the transmission that we're getting. So we're going to find everything that we can that's going to support that, everything we can to link it to that. So it becomes easier and easier and easier, right? So later we're going to talk about, you know, gratitude lists and strength lists and things like that to kind of help reverse this. But all of this collectively kind of puts you into a victim mentality. And what ends up happening there in that victim mentality is that you're always waiting to get hurt. You're always blaming others or past experiences, and it's always something else's fault. You're always the victim, right? The world is out to get me. People are out to get me. My ex-boyfriends are all out to get me. My friends are all out to get me. Because such and such happened, everybody's going to leave. Or, you know, I'm never going to do this again because this happened, right? To me, everything's happening to me, right? So that kind of puts us into that victim mentality. And again, it's hard to get out of that. It's hard to switch gears, because now that you're in that mentality, your brain again is being rewired to find things again to bring in to support that mentality. So, you know, you're going to get hurt. You're going to see more negative things. You're anticipating it, actually. Like, your mind is waiting for it to happen. Your body is waiting for it to happen, right? You're starting to expect it. And so when those minor things do happen, you're just so quick to latch onto it and accept that as part of your reasoning and your justification to feel the way that you feel. And all of this is going on. A lot of this is just going on in the background. A lot of this happens without you even being aware of it, right? And most of us just kind of like live out our daily routine where we're just saying little things. Well, oh, well, that's just how it is because, you know, I always get hurt, right? And we just accept it, or, you know, that's just how it is. I'm just not good enough, you know, and that's just how it is. That's okay. No matter what happens, we start throwing in this verbiage that supports our, you know, mental structure that we've built up. So, you know, it allows the negativity to flourish. It keeps us from really seeing an outside perspective, right? Because the more we encourage this, the stronger it gets. And we'll just go ahead and go into this neuroplasticity concept, because this whole rewiring of everything that I'm talking about goes hand in hand with it. So neuroplasticity is a huge topic. I'm just going to kind of focus on how it applies here. That way we're not getting all sorts of off topic and into some really sciencey, boring, you know, stuff. It's not boring to everybody. It's not boring to me, but I don't want to, you know, veer off too much. So here's what I'm talking about. Neuroplasticity kind of goes hand in hand with what we're talking about with the negativity breeds negativity. Your brain and the way that you process and transmit information, it takes neurological pathways and connections, and everything kind of fires away. And what happens is, long story short, when you do something repeatedly, the connection that develops in your brain, right? And let's use like playing piano, for example. When you start playing piano, you begin the developmental stage of those neurological pathways, right? You create them. And what happens is, the more and more you play piano, because you don't just start out knowing how to play the piano. You don't just start out being a complete pro at the piano, and unless, you know, you're that protege, one in a million kind of person. You don't just know how to play like professional. But every single time that you play, what you're doing is you are taking that neurological pathway and you're strengthening it every single time you do it. And that's how you get better, right? Every single time you do it, you get better. You practice, 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 makes perfect. So that's kind of like neuroplasticity. We're going to go into it further, but you're taking this trench, right? I also kind of relate it to a river, to where, you know, as the water flows through it, that river gets deeper and the water flows stronger. So, you know, later on you go to play the piano and it just flows, right? How does that happen? Because you're developing the neurological connections and you're strengthening them, right? By repetition and repetition. So the same thing applies when with our thoughts, right? And our actions, where when we have those negative thoughts and we encourage them and promote them and continue to let them into our lives and act on them and believe them, we are strengthening that neurological connection that it takes to take that outside thing and relate it and relay it into that pathway, again, strengthening it. So it just becomes easier and easier and easier and easier to do until you find those, you know, those people, and judgment aside, there's people out there that are just always miserable. Always. It doesn't matter what it is. They're just always miserable, always grumpy, all this thing. Because they have lived so long believing these negative ideas, right? They've adopted these negative ideas into their life where everything in the world is just horrible. People are horrible, right? Because and I guarantee you it didn't start out like that. People didn't start out just miserable, right? They didn't just start out miserable people. You know, have you ever seen a miserable kid, right? Pop out just angry all the damn time. No, I guarantee you didn't, right? Some kids might look angry, but they're not. My wife's messaging me, sorry. So it happens over time and it starts with one thought. It starts with one idea, one action, whatever it is. That's where it starts. And the repetition of it, right? By repeatedly encouraging it, it creates a deeper and deeper path. So that's the beginning stages of it. So, and then what happens, here's the cool thing. Here's the cool thing about neuroplasticity. Let's go ahead and get into the solution. We talked about the problem. We were talking about all these ways that we speak and think and talk. And I explained how they affect you on a deep level, right? They affect us on a really deep level. And if we don't catch it, it can affect us in a long-term level, right? We're going to prevent our growth. We're going to prohibit our growth. We're going to prohibit knowledge and learning. All these things, right, are going to be affected by it. Self-sabotage is a huge, huge outcome of this kind of self-talk. Because if we don't believe something's possible, truly believe it and adopt it into our life, right? That belief and encourage those thoughts, we set ourselves up for failure, self-sabotage, because we don't believe we deserve it or we don't believe something else is possible. So, solution, right? There's all sorts of solutions. You're going to hear all sorts of people talk about different solutions. I talk about a few main things very deeply. And things that are proven to work, right? There are things that are proven to work and things that you can do so easily on a daily basis to help reverse this. Because the second side of neuroplasticity, this is awesome. This is really cool. I love talking about this because it's exciting and it is really good news, is that you can rewire your brain, right? You can take, why is the music starting? Hang on a second. Really weird. Oh, okay. So sorry. Woo. So you can rewire your brain. And it's as easy as training it, right? So you trained your brain to think negatively by simply doing a few things regularly. What you can do, and I'm going to use that river analogy again. So imagine that river flowing, right? Super strong now, right? The water's been flowing through it for 100 years, and it's deep, and it's strong, and the current's flowing very well. Now, what if you started digging a river off of that, right? If you just said, okay, I'm going to start digging here, right? One shovel in, one at a time, right? And the water's going to start trickling in there, right? The deeper that you go, right? It's going to take a while, right? But every shovel, right? You get a little bit more water in there. It does kind of push back out into the other one, right? But over time, that shovel turns into an excavator, right? And you're able to start digging bigger and bigger, you know, scoops, because you're strengthening. Every time that shovel goes in, you're strengthening that path. And over time, now that you have an excavator, you develop more tools. So you have a team of excavators, and you continue to dig that out until one day, or, you know, it's not one day thing, but over time, you create this mini little creek, right, where there's water flowing through it all the way to the outlet, right, all the way to the ocean or the pond or whatever it is. It doesn't matter. And water's finally flowing through all the way completely, right? It's smaller than the river, but it's flowing. So now what happens, right? We continue to dig and we continue to let that water flow until eventually that stream becomes as deep as the other one. Now what happens is you have water flowing in both directions. Yes, you do have water flowing in both directions, but you can continue, whichever one you continue digging in is going to eventually be deeper. And when it becomes deeper, the water is going to flow the path of least resistance, just like your mind does, right? Everything about us does the path of least resistance, our mind, right? Until those neurological connections and those pathways become so proficient and so fast that the water has no choice but to flow that direction. And so, bam, right? You have now switched gears entirely so that the stronger connection is positive. So that the stronger connection is now positive self-talk, positive beliefs, positive ideals, and you have rewired your brain, right? Not to say that the other river doesn't exist. Building a whole dam to cut that one entirely off is a whole nother story, but it does get weaker over time, the less that you use it. So this other one, right? Because now you're using this other one, and you want that one to be the one that you're focused on. So again, you continue to, you know, dig it out in water. Anyway, you get the analogy that I'm talking about. So that's the cool thing about neuroplasticity. And this is, we can do this for anything, right? Here, it's applicable to our positive self-talk, right? We want to change the way that we're speaking. So that's the good news. How do we do this? How do we change things up? You hear a lot of people talk about changing the verbiage. Sorry, about changing the verbiage or transferring, you know, everything completely. So, you know, something would be is I'm not good enough. And you can change that to whatever. You can change it to, well, I don't have the knowledge yet. Or that is too much for me right now. It's okay. I'm working towards it. And that's kind of how you got to talk to yourself, right? Talk to yourself like you're talking to a friend, right? Well, I'm going to get there. You know, I can't lift it right now. Right now, I'm unable to lift it. And that's totally fine. But I'm going to continue doing this because one day I'm going to be able to lift it, right? Even if you just say stuff like that, simple, right? I'm not strong enough. Well, it's just too much right now. And that's fine. It's okay to admit that, right? I'm not going to go out there let's talk gym, right? I'm not going to go out there and pretend that I can bench 300 pounds 10 times. And then when I fail, say, well, I'm just not good enough. I'm just not strong enough. It's not going to happen, right? No, it's not realistic. It's not going to happen right now. But if I keep doing what I'm doing, eventually I'm going to get there. And that's totally okay, right? And that's simple. That's being kind to yourself, right? That's enforcing that if I put the work in, it's going to happen, right? If everybody leaves, right? Now, first of all, let's talk about this because not everybody leaves. And I want to get into talking about how belief and emotion aren't fact. So, you know, like belief, a lot of people misunderstand. When we talk about belief, belief doesn't mean fact, right? I can wholeheartedly believe something and it not be the truth, right? Because a lot of us, and this is where it applies here, is when we say everybody's going to leave or I always get hurt, that becomes a belief. But that's not factual, There's no fact in that because, first of all, we can't predict the future, right? Nothing about the future can we predict. There's so much uncertainty. And while that's scary, that provides us some relief in the fact that I don't know that everybody's going to leave. I don't know that I'm always going to get hurt. I'm going to get hurt in the future, but not always. Not in every single relationship that I'm in. Not every time I get in the car, am I going to get into an accident, right? So am I going to not drive because I got into one accident and it's just always going to happen every time I get into a car? No, that's a belief that we hold on to, but it's not real, right? Emotions, they come and go, right? They rise, they fall. Just because I'm angry now doesn't mean I am an angry person. That doesn't define me, doesn't define who I am. I am not always angry, right? I get angry, I get upset, I get sad, but I am not sad as a person, as an identity, as a whole. You get what I'm kind of saying here? So when I say that everybody's going to leave, I have to say that out loud, because what happens when you say it out loud is that you realize that you have people around you, and you kind of hear how illogical it is, right? You know, look around. I'm here right now. If you're watching this video, not everybody has left, right? So I think what happens, especially with those ideas that everybody leaves or I'm always going to get hurt, is that we got hurt. We've been hurt before. Somebody has left us, or even maybe multiple times. A lot of people have really bad, you know, relationships multiple times over again. And so that kind of like encourages the fact that everybody's just going to leave me. Everybody's always going to hurt me. And while that's a valid way of feeling because of our experience, you got to remember that is a single experience, or maybe one single experience two times. You know, not everybody in the world's going to leave. Not everybody's going to hurt you, right? And to think otherwise, you're missing out on so many different things, right? Like you're ignoring. I guarantee you. Look on Facebook, whatever it is, you will find people that genuinely care about you. A lot of them don't even know you, right? This whole community is people that just unconditionally love people. And that's just the thing, right? And so this goes back to that whole idea where we look for things that reinforce. What's up, Roger? Where we reinforce those negative thoughts. Because there are positive things out there that'll show us that not everybody leaves. But because we believe that everybody's going to leave, we find every single thing that we possibly can to latch onto that are going to re-encourage that thought. It doesn't mean those other things don't exist. It means that our mind isn't trained to see them. So this is where we got to talk about that rewiring, right? We got to re-see the way that we view the world. We got to restructure the way that we view the world, right? Our perspectives, we got to change them. So it exists, right? Not everybody's going to hurt you. Not everybody's going to leave you. Eventually, you can probably do all the things that you say that you can't right now if you really work towards them. It's all possible. So we got to get out of that trap, because that trap is going to keep us from seeing things, you know, using our peripherals, looking outside the box, looking outside of what we've designed as our reality. So, you know, again, it goes just back to that attraction of energies, right? You put out that negative energy, you put out those negative self-talk that out loud, and you're going to attract it. It's because you're wiring your brain to see those things and pick them out. And that's just how it is. So you're creating that reality and defining it stronger and stronger and stronger until you get trapped and it's really, really hard to get out of. So, So just rephrasing the way that you say things to yourself, say them out loud, say things out loud, see if it sounds ridiculous, whatever it is. And then, you know, there's a lot of other things. Positive affirmations is something that a lot of people use. So saying, I am enough. I am going to accomplish. I do have the ability to do this. I am beautiful. I am strong. I am going to overcome, you know, whatever it is. So, you know, saying those things on a daily basis, find something that you want to feel and just say, I am this. I am happy. I am happy. I am happy. I am beautiful. I am beautiful. I am beautiful. I am strong, right? Every chance that you get, say it. Because again, this reinforces that idea, turns it into a belief, and then your brain's going to pick out all those things. You're going to actually hear the compliment that you get instead of brushing it off because you believe. Have you ever got a compliment of somebody calling you beautiful or calling you strong or whatever it is, and you just brush it off because you don't believe it, because you're caught up in the belief that you don't deserve it, that you're really not this thing? Somebody else just said that you are, though. Are you not going to believe them? Right? So we ignore that. We brush it off. But when we retrain our brain, we actually hear that. right? We start allowing things like that in, because taking compliments can be really hard for us. I still have a problem with it. Eric, I don't know if you're watching this, but you know, you said it to me before, like you still have a hard time taking compliments. And I do, because I am still working through some issues, and a lot of it is deserving of praise, right? I have a hard time with that. I have a hard time with accepting praise. And so that's a struggle that I have. But I've gotten a lot better at it. I used to be really against it. Now it's kind of one of those things I'm slowly starting to accept. And the more that I do it, the more that I allow it into my life, and the more it changes my perspective on everything else, right? I hear it from other people, and I allow that in, and it makes me feel good. And I continue to grow from there. So, you know, that it doesn't take much. It takes daily initiative. Some of the other things, these are things that I strongly recommend to everybody. I have almost all of my clients do it. Anybody that comes in here for actual like transformation coaching, I have them all do it, right? And that's writing out a strengths list and writing out a gratitude list. These go hand in hand with exactly what I was just talking about. Writing out a strengths list, right? Everybody knows their weaknesses. Everybody knows their weaknesses. More so these people that are constantly beating themselves up and talking negatively. We know our weaknesses. Let's focus on our strengths, right? What am I good at? What do I do well? What makes me happy? What have I helped other people accomplish? Right? What are my strengths? And writing them out, right? Writing them out on paper. You get to see them, right? Instead of just thinking them and putting them on the back burner in the back of your head, right? You get to see them. Okay. And now you can put them somewhere where you can see them regularly, right? And every time you see them, you're going to be reminded, and that thought's going to spark, and that connection's going to spark, and you're going to send something down the neurological pathway that's going to help strengthen it. And every single time you do that, and then what happens over time is you start out with three strengths. But then you're like, wait a second. You know, the more and more you do this, you're like, I'm also good at this. And then you write that down because you start seeing from a different perspective, right? Because you're training your brain to start seeing your strengths. And now I can pick up on it. Now I can start. It's open to the idea of you being good at things. And so you allow that in. You start seeing it better, right? Gratitude list is another one. It's a huge one, right? I try to have people do this challenge where it's writing three things you're grateful for that are different every single day for 21 days, right? It ends up being like, 63 different things to find that you're grateful for. And no repetition, right? No repetition. Three things every day that are new. And you can even step it up and do 5, 7. And you'll be surprised, right? You're like, how the hell can I come up with 63 things to be grateful for? And you'll be surprised. You'll get to like, it's easy at first because you can kind of pick out the small things. Well, I'm grateful for my friend Ashley because she does this. And I'm grateful for, you know, having food on my plate or having food in the fridge or having money in my pocket. You know, so like the first couple of days are easy. But what happens is you get to like day 7. And you start running out of stuff. But because you've been doing it regularly, consistently for the last 7 days, you're like, well, hey, you know, I'm also grateful for this, right? And what you don't know that's going on in the background is that every day that you're doing that consistently, you're retraining your brain. Again, yep, I'm going to bring it up. You're retraining your brain to start seeing things in a different light. And it understands that you're starting to look at things for gratitude. You're starting to find more grateful things, things to be grateful for. So it starts picking them up, starts opening its eyes, right? And it starts seeing things differently. It's like, well, this is a beautiful thing in the world. I'm grateful for that. And so then you get to day 21 and you've got 63 things on your list to be grateful for. And again, you write these out and you hang it up and you're like, okay, bam, like I never have to go a day again without being ungrateful. Right. And that right there is just such a positive thought that it encourages other positive thoughts. Energy, right? It's energy attraction, right? Because you're grateful for things. Now you're allowing that energy into your life, right? You're connecting with it and you start seeing things differently and you start attracting that gratitude and that positivity and becoming stronger and changing all sorts of stuff, right? It's insane. And if you don't believe me, what's the harm in trying, right? try the 21 day challenge. Try it. I promise you, right? If you get all the way to day 20, if you have 63 things to be grateful for at the end of that list, right? And you don't start seeing things a different way, what did you lose? Right? What did you lose by doing that? Three things a day for 21 days, right? 10 minutes, right? You spent 10 minutes for 21 days, 210 minutes. That's like, you know, 3 hours in 3 weeks, right? What did you really lose, right? Because the alternative is things just being the same, right? Pros and cons, right? Priorities. So there's that. And the strengths thing too, you know, right? 3 to 5 strengths and just look at them every day and start, you know, seeing how it might change your life and how you can apply those strengths in other areas. And then what you're doing is you're promoting those strengths to flourish in other areas of your life. Imagine that. It's pretty cool. So, yeah. So, you know, those are a few things that I have people do. And it's pretty cool. I also like the idea of, like, dissecting our negative self-talk, right? I love dissecting our negative self-talk because here's what that allows us to do. That allows us to learn. That allows us to get at the root cause and really pick apart fear, which is usually what it always comes down to, and see how I can learn and grow from it, right? And use those strengths. How can I use these strengths to, you know, apply it to these issues? Why is a really great question. It's an amazing question. How can I learn from my past experiences or my weaknesses? And why do I really feel like they're my weaknesses? Why do I let this past experience create this idea? Why do I believe this? Why do I think this? Why do I, you know, feel this way when such and such happens? Why do I, you know, whatever? Why, right? Gets to the root cause of the issue. How can I learn from it? So if I'm assimilating all my past experiences of why I think that I'm always going to get hurt, I start to put together patterns because patterns exist. And typically when we believe something so strongly, it's been re-encouraged so many times, we can start taking a look at every single one of those experiences and kind of learn from it. You know, if we have really bad relationships all the time, maybe there's something going on that I'm missing, right? That I need to take a look at that I can use and change and grow from, right? Maybe I'm part of the issue. And that's hard to admit, but typically when there's a pattern outside of us coming from multiple different areas, sometimes the problem's us, right? Sometimes, and that sucks, but if you want change, you have to change things, right? If you don't want to continue getting hurt, but you keep putting yourself in position to get hurt, I mean, can you really blame somebody outside of yourself? You can. You can totally do that, right? Blaming others in the world around you. That's a way of life, right? People do it. But if you're tired of feeling that way, right, maybe just taking a look at how things really go. Try to step back. Try to see things for how they really are from a third perspective, right? Like, try to look inside. Like, imagine one of your friends is going through what you're going through, and you're watching them. And break down every aspect, right? So learn from it. And then this will help you, again, either A, see how illogical it is, see how you can grow, see how you can learn something, see how you can develop a strength, see how you can change the verbiage so whatever it is isn't the same, so you become enough, whatever it is. And again, what's the harm in trying, right? If you're watching this, if you're listening to this, chances are you're open to the idea of these things being possible. Right. And that's a huge breaking point. It's a huge barrier. Right. If you just shut this off at the beginning, which I'm talking to nobody then, you know, then that's where you're kind of just stuck. And that's okay place to be because it happens. That's just a natural area. But, you know, if you made it this far and you're open to the idea, what's the harm in just trying these challenges, trying the strengths, trying the gratitude, trying to the affirmations, whatever it is, what's the harm in? So anyways, you know, that's pretty much all of it. You know, that's pretty much the whole thing. I just gave you the entire rundown of, you know, how to change your entire perspective, change your entire reality, right? It's kind of just up to you now, right? Where to go from here. So if you caught this whole thing, I really appreciate you sticking through to it. I love getting on here. I hope this helps somebody. If you have further questions about this, I love this. I'm passionate about this. This is a great topic for me. It's something that I've struggled with for a really long time, and I still do. I still struggle with negative self-talk once in a while. That's part of my story. It doesn't have to be a part of yours. If you don't do it, then that's fine. But it's part of mine. And if it is a part of yours, I hope this helped. So leave a comment, message me something. Let me know that you saw this. Let me know how you felt about it. Whatever it is, let me know that you hate it. I don't care. Just comment, communicate with me, right? I love communicating with you guys. Get back to me. Anyway, that's all I got. That's all I got for you. So hopefully we can do this again soon. I'm waiting. I get some feedback, see what topics we can address, some struggles that people have. How can we remain in the solution? That's all we're trying to do here. We're trying to take problems and stay in the solution and find a better way of life. Okay? That's what it really comes down to. So I'm going to get going. My wife just told me she ordered wings, so I'm going to go home and eat. So you guys have a good night. Take it easy, and I will talk to you soon.